Ephesians chapter 1, hear now the word of our Lord. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and all. Amen.
Well, good morning. Hopefully I have some encouragement for you today. We didn't know Luke was going to be here until about Friday, and I'm glad he is, because the message I have for you today is for those that are like him, it doesn't matter your age, but that you know the mystery and accept it. You accept right the vision, and you might need some encouragement to go on. And what I'm going to do is move it up a little. What I want to do is review. That better, Howard? Okay. What I want to do is review partially some of the high points of the past several weeks. And in doing so, I have three questions that come to mind that I wanted answered for myself, and I'm going to try to answer them partially anyway. And my questions are, what sureties await the one body as Christ is head, and what possibilities await the one body? And I'm going to do some speculation there. And what purpose of the ages does the one body have in the heavens? Now, as I review, I want to go over the three spheres of blessings that we talk about. And the first sphere of blessing is the heavenlies, or the one body, far above all. And then we have I'm going to draw a picture. If I could draw the universe, I'd draw it something like this. Here's the earth. Here's the new Jerusalem. This is the heavens far above all. That's the throne of God. And we said that earthly Israel, the restored wife, She's adulterous. She's going to be restored someday and have a kingdom here on earth. And all the nations during the millennium are going to be subservient to that nation. Christ is going to be the king. There's going to be a kingdom set up. They're finally going to get their land and all their promises. Now, that, you can't get into that if you wanted to today. That's closed. We have the blessings of Abraham, as Galatians tells us, that it might come upon the Gentiles, and there's neither Jew nor Greek. And that's the blessing of Abraham. And if you don't see the mystery, you reject the one body, you don't get it, you reject it, you can enjoy that. You can enjoy that. That'll be your eternal life. Or you can go on and be in the super heavens. Now, in the heavenly Jerusalem there, the new Jerusalem, the prophets are going to be there. Abraham, Enoch, streets of gold, pearl gates. The light will be emitted from the glory. And that's great. And there's going to be angels there. And they're going to be messengers. They're going to be servants of the saints that occupy that blessing, that sphere of blessing. Just like the nations are going to be subservient to Israel on the earth. Now, the way we arrive at all this, I'm going to go briefly over right division of the books that Paul writes. And there's a distinguish with right division between the two ministries of Paul. The New Covenant, let me say this first. When we read, we need to keep in mind who's being spoken and for who, and is it for you or to you. And as I go over that briefly, we distinguish between the New Covenant, which is the Gentiles, the grafted in, and the new man. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. And we also distinguish against Paul's gospel, that he was a minister to the Gentiles, and then Peter and Paul, Peter, James, John, they're commissioned to preach to the circumcision. And then we got to keep separate earthly Israel and their restoration after being divorced, and the bride. The bride's in the New Jerusalem. And then we need to keep in mind the difference between the bride and the one body, as Christ is ahead. And the one body is to be manifested with him in glory up here. Now, trying to keep this all straight, we got a lot of different, I'm going to call them players, that I want to go over. And I'm talking about the cherubs, the seraphim, the angels, the principalities, and the powers. And I'm looking for characteristics of all of them rather than doing a deep study in them with them. And we need to know that in Colossians we're told that by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. So when we talk about angels, Christ was exalted to the right hand of God, being so much better than the angels, and to which of the angels said, he at any time sit on my right hand. Well, that's never happened. But the one body is going to be seated above the angels, and the saints in the New Jerusalem are going to have angels below them. So, and Paul says, know ye not that the saints shall judge angels? Angels are ministering spirits. We also see a difference with these angels and principalities and spirits. In Hebrews, they're said to be far above all the angels. And in Ephesians, the believer is seated potentially far above even the principalities. We know that angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. So I'm going to put angels and principalities just out here someplace. We know the angels didn't, they left their own habitation and came to earth. They was able to take on flesh. We know that angels could partake of buttermilk. They could eat cakes. They ate a young calf. Abraham entertained them unawares. The Old and New Testament confirmed that they have bodies which in their ordinary sphere are invisible to the eye of man, but which can become visible when the occasion arises. Cherubs and seraphim. Satan was called a cherub. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. As Bickle told us a couple of weeks ago, that refers to Lucifer being the overshadowing and protecting of the world that then was, possibly the garden. So he had that mission. He was the protector. He was called a cherub. So that's one characteristic of that particular cherub anyway. And then in Ezekiel we have a description, and the sound of the cherubim's wings were heard. And then here's another description of a cherub that had two faces, the face of a man and the face of a young lion. A seraphim. The root word of that is serpent. And here the seraphim in Isaiah, each one had six wings, two that covered its face, two that covered its feet, and two that flew with. And it flew, and it cried, "Holy, holy, holy." And it grabbed a live coal in its hand with some tongs and tried to put it to his lips. So cherubs and seraphim fly. This one has two faces and it can talk. I don't know much about them, but they're in this realm. And the principalities, the very nature of the word of the principalities is that it outprecedents angels. And Paul says in Romans, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers present nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Why would he say that unless they were trying to separate us from the love of God? So that's part of the point of why I just gave you all these descriptions, is there's more out there than just Satan. The devil made me do it. And mentality. We got all these players. We've got angels that mainly apply to Israel. That's where they're always mentioned. There isn't mention of angels in the mystery books. We've got principalities and powers that are trying to separate us from the love of God. And Paul says to the Gentiles to be fellow heirs. And of the same body of Christ, and partake of his promise. And Paul was given a gift to be this minister, and these powers and abilities that he had were a small gift of God's actual power. But the intent of it was, of his whole ministry, was to make known unto the power and principalities in heavenly places, might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Jesus Christ our Lord, in which we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him. Now, that's what really gets me choked up when I start to think about it. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence. These principalities and powers are watching us. And I've done terrible sins, and they held me back for years. But they're gone. I dumped them. The price has been paid. And I can boldly go to my Savior and say, "Hallelujah, I love you. Thank you today for my great salvation. I need some help today. I need some love and joy and peace." I can go boldly to him. I don't think these principalities and powers can. I've got something that they do not. I don't think they like me. I think they're trying to separate me from this love. I think they give suggestions that you're not good enough, trying to keep you down. It says, Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And again, I don't even want to wrestle, but I don't have a choice. I have this access to my Savior that I don't think that they don't have. I don't think they can boldly go to Him. The powers, they have a dim future. Listen to what I've got on powers. In Matthew, immediately after the tribulation, which is before the millennium, of the days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from the heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And in Mark, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Isaiah, he wants to dissolve them. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. And their host shall fall down as a leaf falleth from the vine, and as a falling fig from a tree. Then Luke says, the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and they shall fall, and see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Peter says, Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. So these powers got a real dim future. They're going to be dissolved. They're going to be shaken. They're going to fall like a fig. Their habitat's going to be rolled up like a scroll. And it's unto all these creatures, these beings, that the one body is being a demonstration to. I've got boldness and confidence, and I can go to the Savior. I don't think they have any. I think they're jealous. I think that they know that the one body is going to be up here, and they're down here. Now, Dave read Ephesians for us. Let's go back to that, page 1760, Ephesians chapter 1. If we go to verse 11, and in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will. And then verse 12, that we should be the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. If I look out here, I'll pick on Carly. Carly is, if we look at her, I can say Carly is a nice girl. She is well behaved. And we all know that. But we also know that it's because of her parents that taught her and shaped her and formed her. They get the glory. And it's the same idea that we have show the glory of the salvation that was given to us as a gift from our Savior. And if we grab a hold of these spiritual gifts that He wants to give us, we show the glory to Him, just like Carly shows the glory to her parents. And verse 13, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. That earnest of our inheritance, that's the Spirit. That's a down payment, the salad before the meal. I don't know how else to put it. That's the greatest power. It raised Christ from the dead. It was the power that was in Samson's arms. It's the power, and we have just a taste of that. Imagine when we have the full measure. Verse 18 talks about the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, and we learned a few weeks ago that is your heart, the understanding of your heart, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Riches and glory and His inheritance. now we're starting to touch on the key to all this. It's all spiritual. We don't want to just stop with a gift of salvation. We need to understand what power He has with us, with the Spirit and His gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace. Verse 19, the exceeding greatness of His power, who believe according, and that believe is to have faith in it. Not just to believe it, but to take a hold of it and do something with it. The same greatness of His power that raised Him from the dead. Verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but with the one that is to come. This is where the action is. This is where all spiritual, this is the throne of God. This is where it originates. If you flip a page or two over to chapter 3, I'm going to start at verse 14. 3:14. Yeah, I'll read it. 14 through 21. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with the saints what is the breadth, length, depth, height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout the ages. And in verses 18 and 19. 18, 19, and was it 20? 20. We got the word able. Maybe able to comprehend, and to Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly. I think we got a big responsibility there with the able. Not every one of us is able. Are able, you should exercise it. I know we have to make a living. I know we have to, we have loved ones to take care of. But if you're able to have your eyes and able to have the faith, able to understand, have your understanding be enlightened, that's the difference between going on and just staying stagnant with a gift. In 1 Corinthians, page 1700, 1 Corinthians 3. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 through 15, is talking about your standing and your state. I'm going to read it. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he hath built upon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet as if by fire. I think this is a practical truth that we can apply to us. And it's talking about your standing and state. The foundation is not in question. Your standing is unaltered. If you have life and you've accepted Christ and you believe it, your standing is unaltered. You'll be saved. It'd be like being in your house, though, and the house burns down, but you're in the basement, and rarely does anything burn up in the basement. But you're saved. You've got it. But if any man's work be burned up, he shall suffer lost, not be lost. And this reference is to your work that you want to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. So we need to ask ourselves what we're going to lay on this foundation that we have on this gift. And it's got to be spiritual building. And it has to do with the reward. And now I'm going to speculate a little bit. I think it's a difference between not building at all. Let's say you come. Let's say when it's revealed by fire, you bring to Christ 40 hours a week of watching television. Oprah, I don't think that's going to stand. So I think the difference is in your spiritual building is going to be the difference between being in the super heavens and being a thumbnail in the body, and maybe even difference between being a hand or an arm. I'm not saying it's a bad place to be. It's not. But if you have a choice of what you're going to be or what you're going to do, and it depends on your building you have, I would like to strive for the highest that I could attain. And if Corinthians tells us, and whatsoever ye do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he've done, and there's no respect of persons. And 2 Timothy, we're told in 2 Timothy 2, 13, is it? 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. I don't think he's talking about denying our salvation. That's a gift. We have that, but I think it's has to do with our position, the thumbnail in the hand scenario. And we're told to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. So back to my three questions that I started with. What sureties does the one body have? If you have the mystery, you accept it, you understand it, you're part of the one body, Christ is head, I think you have a position here. The right hand of God, the source of all spiritual, everything spiritual, love, joy, peace, everything spiritual here, things we can't even understand. Satan, in Ezekiel, it said, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? He's cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations. For thou said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." I think, I'm speculating, but I think Satan was on a mission, was on an assignment to be, and he had a job he was doing here. And then he thought he was good enough to set himself up here with God, and that's what brought him down. And I'm speculating, but I think we have the same great assignments, possibly awaiting one body someday. And it's going to be Pete told us a few weeks ago, if we could just grab a hold of all these spiritual blessings, we could be spiritual millionaires right here on earth. Up there is the sum total of spiritual love, joy, peace, everything. What could you do with all that? What could God What could you do for God in eternity with the sum total? Satan had the sum total of wisdom and beauty. What could a member of the one body do with the sum total of love and joy and peace and understanding? And it's that I'm encouraging you to read, study, understand, have the understanding, the heart of your understanding be strengthened spiritually in all those ways, and build something on that. Well, let's pray then. Lord, we thank you that we could meet here today, and we pray that you would open our hearts and minds to the perfect understanding of your love, and understand the great salvation and inheritance that we have, and the Spirit is our earnest today. Amen.